Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
The image of the three myrrh-bearing women approaching the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus in our gospel this evening is profoundly poignant, in part because it speaks to experiences with which so many of us, all of us, I think, are intimately familiar. Just imagine them, these three women, walking slowly together to the tomb to finish the burial rites for their friend and teacher, Jesus, that they could not perform on the Sabbath. I imagine most of the way was silent, the only sound that of their trudging, the empty wind perhaps, oblivious birdsong. What could they say, what grief could they express more eloquent than the grief already written on their faces and streaming down their cheeks? How many times do they stop to sob or hold each other as they walk, and then closer they come to the tomb, the sun rising higher in the sky, a sign their sorrow will not allow them to read. Who looks into whose face first to say, "We're coming all this way, and for what? For who shall roll us away the stone from the door?" And yet, with no answer given, with no answer to give, they keep walking. Love leading on, they keep walking. Our Gospel's Greek suggests that it's at this point that they don't just look, they look up. And they see through a veil of tears something completely, startlingly unimaginable. The impossibly large stone covering the entrance to the tomb has impossibly been rolled away. Consider not just how astonishing that was to them, but how overwhelmingly, mind-bogglingly strange and incomprehensible that would have been to these women. That stone covering that door was the last word on their dashed hopes. The last word on their Lord, their life, their love, Jesus Christ, sealed in death on the other side of it. It was the full stop, the period at the end of Jesus' story, at the end of their own story. After the events of the previous week, after the betrayal in the garden, after that hideous trial that sent an innocent to death, after the scourging and the mocking and that grotesque thorn crown, after the nailing, after the agonized and agonizing death, after the darkness at noon, after the earthquake, after the spear thrust, after the mother's tears as she received her son's lifeless body, after the laying in the borrowed tomb, after the stone rolled over its entrance, after the weight of so much horror, who could have thought that stone was movable? Who could have thought that all the events of the week would somehow seem now to begin to unravel themselves backward with the impossible movement of an impossible stone? Who could have imagined that death and death's reign would not actually have the last word? Who could have imagined that Jesus' story was not over, that that stone wasn't the end of God's story at all, love's story at all? Who could have imagined such an unimaginable good? That the God of life who died on a cross, Jesus Christ, had undone death by his dying, had trampled it down, had descended by the ladder of the cross into the heart of the grave, into hell itself, and unpicked it from the inside. bringing the light of his glory into darkness, bringing the limitless life of his divine being within the limits of death's domain, and abolishing that domain and its dominion over human life completely. And he rises again, drawing through his own perfect humanity all of humanity, dead and alive from every age, even from those ages yet to come, even our age. Drawing them, drawing us through the magnificent gate of his own open heart to the deathless heart of God's own divine love. Leading us by grace to the true promised land. Who could have imagined such a thing? Who indeed but the unimaginably good God? Everything we thought we knew about life and death, all the hard and stony and horrible facts on which we thought we could rely, with which we thought we could tell our story, with which we thought we could tell God's story, they're all undone, broken, shattered, moved aside in the face of this unimaginable revelation of the really real, that love is stronger than death. That Easter morning, those three women understood the hard, stony world of death and sorrow and loss they thought they knew was over. Be not affrighted, the young man, the angel, tells them when they enter the tomb, and hearing from the angel of Jesus' resurrection, in an instant they discover themselves in a new world. They leave a tomb to enter a new life, more startling, more richly grand, more majestic than any they could have ever possibly imagined. Awestruck and trembling, our translation says they were amazed, but the word is more fruitfully translated, ecstasy. They were transported outside the tomb, outside themselves, in a wordless rapture of trembling ecstasy from which one among them, Mary Magdalene, would be the first preacher to the apostles of the good news in all of its fullness. Beloved, the good news of Easter, the good news of Jesus Christ means the world we thought we knew is over. But do not be afraid, though the world as we know it is ended. We are invited through Christ in the church by grace to be citizens of a new world of joy, of life, and of love. Now, I think many of us, most of us, all of us, know what it means for hopes or dreams or plans or possibilities to be crushed by some impossible stone that seals us away into a mournful darkness from which liberation seems doubtful or fantastical. We don't need to think too hard to name some of the stones that may burden us today: addiction, abuse, food or housing insecurity, economic, racial, or gender-based oppression, parlous state of the world, or our own actions, our selfishness, our pettiness, our hatefulness, our violence, our viciousness of life, the pain or fear we would inflict on others so we would feel less hurt or afraid, cycles and patterns of death into which we are so habitually caught up, all the things that brick us up into tombs, that hem us in, that foreclose the horizons of our joy, our love, our lives, our humanity, all the things that make joy, love, life seem unimaginable. And who shall roll us away the stone from the door? Well, we certainly can't. And it's easy to forget the reality for which we were made, reality of love intended for us since before the foundation of the world, is the reality of God's own life. A life of supernal and endless joy, a life of complete self-giving, vulnerable, boundary-breaking, death-defying love. And there is nothing you can do to earn it. Nothing at all. There is no price, whether in dollars or good deeds, that you can pay to buy this joy. It is gratuitously, mercifully, lovingly yours in and through Christ Jesus. Because Jesus Christ has entered into the dark places of your life. Jesus Christ has entered into the fearful places of your life. Jesus Christ has entered all the death-filled places of your life. He has seen your sin, he knows it, and he has forgiven it. He shed his blood for you on that cross, endured the weight of that sin so that he could return that Easter morning to tell you, I love you. I forgive you. I know you. I long for you. I am yours, and you are mine. I have taken away your sins and given you my own life, my love, my joy. Who will roll your stone away? I will, says our Lord, if you let me. And I will lead you out of darkness into a brightness of grace and empower you to live the life of love and joy I give you. And transformed by grace, you will be empowered to do all such good works as I have prepared for you to walk in, says our God, and become agents, instruments, and evangelists of the new world of grace that I am creating even now. Beloved, wherever you are in your life, in your journey of faith, in whatever darkness you may find yourself, among whatever lions of wrath or envy or fear or guilt or shame, sealed in and pressed down by whatever unimaginably, impossibly immovable stone, that stone does not need to be the last word for you. The grace of God longs to lift up your eyes to see your redemption near at hand in Christ Jesus, rolling the stone away from your door, dawning like the day star in your life, unimaginably bright, scattering every darkness, vanquishing sin and death, lovingly reaching out for you with nail-pierced hands to draw you out of the grave and into a new life of joy, a resurrection life. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia. May we show forth in our lives what we profess with our lips. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.